At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which? Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 701. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we got P in the house. You're mute, P. I can't hear you.
I'm muted. Damn it. I got too many damn mute buttons.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. I know the last episode we mentioned about Ghost Recon Wildlands, mm-hmm. PvP, the beta. It's going to be coming out now.
This Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, by the time people listen, it'll be live on the servers and ready to go. So,
yeah. And it's called Ghost War.
Yeah.
So, we'll definitely going to be talking about that. We played this a couple weeks ago in San Francisco. And, definitely going to be talking about that. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com. Check us out too there. You know, listen to our past episode. Share with your friends. You could also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Also, watch us live on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And you can watch us there live Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
We don't have Paris this week. But he's going to be joining us on the next episode of Gamer Tag Radio. All right, Pete, let's talk about this Ghost Recon game, open beta. When we went to this event, we kicked ass.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes.
We won every single match. We were undefeated. But the most important thing, we were having a blast. Since we got there.
I'd flip that around. I'd say we had a blast, but most importantly, we went undefeated and still
undefeated. Yep. It was a lot of fun, dude. Like, here's the thing what I noticed. It reminded me kind of a little bit of Rainbow Six, that type of style, like the layout when you see 4v4, you see 3v3 versus 4, like that type of layout that they have is similar to Rainbow Six multiplayer too.
Mm-hmm. Well, correct? I think it goes to say that you have to take into consideration that it is Ubisoft. Obviously, they have, you know, they've got franchise control of the Tom Clancy series of games, Rainbow Six Siege being the latest. That is, you know, just been one of the bigger surprise hits because of the slow start that title has had. But their studio has been just nonstop listening to the community, giving Rainbow Six Siege the opportunity to be an esports contender now, right? And so I think what they did, and I think what they did is they took that same mentality, that same design style and concept, and just essentially folded it into Ghost Recon Ghost War. So like Danny said, it's 4v4 PvP team deathmatch style experience. If I'm not mistaken, there's three categories. There's assault, marksman, and support. All of them, I guess assault and marksman is, I guess, self-explanatory, you know, snipers or, you know, run and gun style. The support is probably one of the more fun classes, I guess you could say, because there's six classes in the beta. There's going to be six classes in the beta, five maps that we'll get to play on the beta itself. The retail release is supposed to have 12 classes spread out across the three categories and eight maps total. So each of those classes in and of itself have its own perks, skill sets, and abilities that, you know, some may or may not have. I recall the support one based on the level of success or the level, you know, the leveling up that you have. It's not just used for spotting. It's similar to the PvE experience where, you know, you can attack or you can, or whatnot. You know, there was, instances where we could launch attacks, you know, similar to the Call of Duty games where, you know, you can bring in a warship to start raining fire down on people. But I had you and I had so much fun. Like, we were calling it out. You know, we were playing, you know, we were playing other people, developers and people from the media when we were playing it a couple of weeks ago. And yep, yep. It was fun. Like, it brought back that excitement. I was playing on keyboard and mouse. I think you were playing on controller, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was playing the controller.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, one thing I do have to mention too is that, you know, everybody's so used to Ghost Recon Wildlands, big, huge levels. And this one is not really big compared to like the actual gameplay, single player campaign and stuff. Right. I think the size was great for 8 players, 4v4.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great size. Exactly. And like, I forgot what was the name of the level that I tried to go somewhere to the side, and they even will tell me, like, no, you have to get out of there. Like, it'll have like a little timer, or I think you will
go back into
lose
the
or something.
Yeah, go back into the play field or you die, essentially. You know, like,
yeah, something
essentially
like that.
Die.
Yeah. Yep.
The cool thing is there are revivals. There is permadeath as well. So once you get killed, you're essentially downed, and you got to wait until one of your teammates can come and revive you. But if an enemy player comes up to you and kills you on the spot, you're actually dead. But yeah, like you were saying earlier, it's really fun that you get to see the, like, if let's say, you know, me and Danny are on a team, Danny gets a kill. I, you know, everybody on the team sees it flash on their screen, kind of like a running, you know, human scoreboard of, you know, 4v3, you know, 4v2. And it was funny because when we were playing, it was a lot of 4v4, then 4v3, 4v2, 4v1, where we kept seeing them, going down, falling down, it was great. And Ubisoft had a Twitch reveal earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday. The excitement level of just watching, not just watching the gameplay on the screen, but watching the chat. Chat usually on Twitch is kind of a hit and miss, versus bad experience. It's not always a great experience. One of the things I did notice was, and maybe these were more of the hardcore, you know, Rainbow Six / Ghost Recon fans, they legitimately had, you know, they were having these discussions of how they could see this affecting Destiny and PUBG player counts.
Really?
I know.
Why would they say that though?
I know Paris isn't here, but I can already feel the eye roll.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's a new thing, so people are going to be jumping into it. I don't know if it's going to be affecting player counts as severely as people are, you know, as some of the people in the Twitch chat were saying, but there is hype and excitement for it. You can't deny that Ghost Recon / you know, let's flip that around. Tom Clancy / Ghost Recon fans, myself included, have been anxiously looking forward to PvP and what they were going to bring and set forth since the launch of Ghost Recon Wildlands earlier this year. The single player experience, or the co-op experience, however you want to call it, was phenomenal. I had a lot of fun. God knows I've got countless hours on both PC and Xbox One. But it was the PvP that was kept quiet, right? Like, so they were always, it's coming. And to be honest, I kind of forgot about it. And I don't think that's a good or a bad thing. I mean, you know, obviously it kind of let, you know, people forget about it and allowed Ubisoft to truly focus on delivering it without the anticipation or the pressure from the public to try to deliver something quick, to try to, you know, keep the name out. And this coming out, you know, soon, especially with this beta, it's going to be a really good test. because sometimes Ubisoft is not the strongest when it comes to multiplayer server support. So I really think this is going to be a real key launch to make sure that they're ready to go once the game goes live, once PvP goes live. I'm truly looking forward to it, and I hope that the Ubisoft technical team is paying attention to server load. I'm sure they will, obviously. I mean, nobody goes into this business to fail, especially from a technical perspective. You know, IT networks, that's something that's near and dear to my heart, and same with Paris. So, you know, Paris said it the other day. He's like, you know, the hype is real. Choo choo. Let's do this. I am super amped, looking forward to it. And if Comcast would get off their tuchus and fix this fiber line behind my house so I can get on regular internet, I'd love to be able to jump into this beta. If you're on
PC. How many days now? How many days with no internet?
Since Hurricane Irma hit, so last Sunday, so
it's gonna be 7 days, man. In a couple of days, man.
Seven? Try 14.
You know? 14.
Yeah, this is like day 10 now.
Oh my god, I totally forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't keep up,
right? Yeah. So and just because it's 33 gigs on PC alone. That's a lot.
I already downloaded my beta,
yeah,
for both of my Xbox,
yeah, and if people caught that,
so I'm just gonna play
it. And if people caught that, it's live across all platforms, so it doesn't matter if you're on Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. There is no crossplay, so don't get your hopes up. But I am looking forward to it, and I've got until the 25th, which is the last day that the beta is up. The beta is up from the 21st to the 25th. So today's what, the 20th that we're recording. I have up to 5 days. Well, Comcast has up to 5 days to get this fiber line set up and ready to go, because, you know, daddy wants to play.
Now, my thing is to, my question is to Pete, is could this be like Rainbow Six turn into like services instead of just the single player game, and that's it? Now they're going to be adding a lot more content from the multiplayer in the future. Do you see that? Because that's the thing that shined the most with Rainbow Six, was in the beginning they didn't have a lot of stuff, but then through time they'll be adding more content, more maps, more new modes, and it's been getting a lot of new fans, new players to start buying this this game because of that. So do you think that is going to happen the same thing with Ghost Recon in the future from now on because of this big move?
If they follow the same process or recipe that they've done with Rainbow Six, low and slow, get the player base involved, get them playing, get feedback. It has the potential. Absolutely. I think Ghost Recon fans in particular, I think they're going to embrace it because it's Ghost Recon, you know, similar to how, you know, the Halo fans are always going to come out in droves to support Halo. The Call of Duty fans are always going to come out in droves to support their titles. Ghost Recon has not had a PvP game in a long, long time. And it's sorely needed in the shooter space. It's highly anticipated. If they follow the Rainbow Six Siege mold, which is low and slow, supply great content, solid content, which, you know, will come in the form of maps, game modes, weapons. The question will be, you know, if, and one question I have in particular is, you know, I went Wallet Warrior on the PC version, so I have access to all my weapons in the PC mode. Will that translate to the PvP mode? Right. So if I've got all of the snipers and I select marksman, am I going to have all of my sniper gun? You know, am I going to have all my sniper weapons available to play on PvP? And that's the only question. I don't think so, because I don't, you know, there was no single player for Rainbow Six. So I don't think we're going to see that. But
I think it's separate. I think they're going to have a separate thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to have a set schedule of weapons that you can choose from. Obviously, between the separate classes, you've got an array of weaponry that you could choose from. So, you know, that's just a Christmas list. You know, so if Ubisoft is listening, give me good answers. Right?
now, one of the things too that I read online, people were like, "Man, they should have added this from the beginning." Do you agree with that?
No, I think the same, like I said earlier, I think the way they did it with Rainbow Six Siege was the right way, because the landscape of PvP style games changes abruptly and swiftly. We saw that with PUBG. You know, I guess that's the recipe du jour. I mean, hell, Fortnite has its own battle royale game mode that just went live, right?
Yeah, we got to talk about that in a few minutes, but go ahead.
So things are changing so quickly. You don't want to put all your cards on the table, and especially if it's not ready at launch. And if it was ready at launch and they were ready to go with server infrastructure, game modes, game types, and all of that, I see they could have, but let the player base establish itself and the game, let it establish itself within your area of influence. Let the people play it and enjoy it. Slowly feed it. Don't bum rush and throw the entire bucket of crabs on the table. Pick and choose a little at a time, right? So there, you don't rush through all of your content, and then all of your players are sitting there like, okay, we're bored. Give me more. I think it's a good, solid model to follow. You know, give them content, let them absorb it. When they start to say, I'm full, okay, here's some more. It's kind of like going to eat. It's like eating at grandma's, right? You go to grandma's. Oh, you look skinny. Have some food. You eat. You get full. Have some more. You get full. Have some more. As opposed to throwing it all on the table at the same time. Just keep feeding me. Just keep little by little. Just keep giving me grub. If they keep doing this, I think they'll be okay.
Now, if you actually think about it, guys, the game came out, Wildlands, right? Long, very long campaign. Then they had expansion packs throughout a couple months, right? And then they added the PvP. So you had a whole year, almost a whole year of just nonstop content of the game. So I think it was a really great way for them to do that, because that's what they've been doing now for Rainbow Six. Now, we probably will see that with The Division and other games in the future. You never know. But I like that. I like that style. Keep it busy for the whole time. The same thing with Destiny and PUBG, right, Pete? They're always adding new stuff that it keeps the game fresh. So you're never gonna feel like bored and tired of the same thing going over. They're always gonna be adding new stuff that's gonna make more people either continue playing, or maybe we'll get new players to join and also buy that game and also play it too. So
people need to remember, it's only been 6 months since they launched in March. You know, so and on top of that, it's free. Come on.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah.
It's good.
All you need to do is just buy the game. That's it.
Just gotta buy the game. It's great content. Yeah. It's a great game from the single player all the way to now, as we're starting to see PvP. Keep feeding it. Just keep feeding the IP. It's almost like I don't want to say it's a win-win, because people haven't played it. You know, I can only speak from my personal experience, and same with you can only speak from, we had a blast with just the two of us. I think it was us two with two developers versus two developers and two media people on the other side. I mean, you and I picked it up really quickly, but
you know what was the difference, OP? Communication. Noticed that we were the only ones, and even people that were there watching us, they were like, man, you guys, that's good, man. Communication is the key. Because if you just go there thinking you're a superhero and going to try to, you know, get all these points, you and your team are never going to win. So us, dude, we were communicating. Even the developers that were sitting next to us, we were talking to them like, hey, we're here. Okay, go over there. Go. We got this. Like, the whole time we were communicating. So that's why we were winning a lot, because of the communication between all of us.
Agreed. So it's at the end of the day, it's like every other multiplayer game. Unless you're playing solos, like in PUBG, you can play solos, or you're playing Lone Wolf, or it's just, you know, 1v everyone. Communication is a strong component of games like this, or you're always going to need, you know, and it's not just go in and you know, team deathmatch at the end of the day. It's a team deathmatch style game. Yes, this beta is. But there's other things in there that you need to do. Can you go in there? Can you set off the radar or jam the radar before the enemy does? You know, those little things. Like I said, keep feeding us, keep giving us great content. At the end of the day, it's free, and it's just going to keep supporting it. Now, my question is going to be, after a certain period of time, are we going to start seeing maybe seasons of multiplayer or PvP a la Rainbow Six Siege? Because, you know, it's the same thought concept there. They've got seasons, so are we going to start seeing potential PvP seasons? It's still super early, and, you know, it hasn't even come out yet, you know. So, you know, these are just questions that have been, you know, have been building in the back of my head as you know, we get closer and closer to not just the beta, but to the full retail of the multiplayer.
All right, so the next topic we have here, Pete, we talked about it very quick, Fortnite Battle Royale.
Yes.
Have you tried it?
I have not. I've been looking forward to it, but with my limited internet, I can't. This poor Verizon MiFi has been doing such a bang up job for me personally, because don't ask me how, but I've been able to play PUBG on the MiFi, and you know, I don't know how much longer my MiFi is going to be able to support me playing full time multiplayer games on there. I tried a little Destiny 2 a couple of days ago, and then I was like, you know what, let me try it on PUBG. So I'm looking forward to Fortnite. Because it's my type of game. I've come to realize that Battle Royale is my thing. That's the game, you know, Paris has Destiny, likes space magic. PUBG is, you know, Battle Royale is my type of thing. So, you know, I guess that whole thing started with DayZ a couple of years ago, and it's just, mm-hmm. it's just fostered and grown. And it's what I like. It's what I like playing. It's my thing. So I'm looking forward to it. But the other thing that, I think the one thing that we wanted to talk about was there was crossplay, apparently.
Yeah, it supposedly it was already there. Okay, so this is what happens. Right now there is crossplay. You could play with PC gamers and Xbox and so on. And I think also PlayStation 4 gamers could play with PC gamers, right? So somebody noticed, I don't know the whole full story, but somebody noticed that they were actually playing with a Xbox gamer, and they noticed because of the name of their user ID or gamer tag or PSN ID, whatever you want to call that. They noticed that was like an Xbox user, and supposedly people already tried it. There's pictures online of other gamers finding other gamers, and they found them. Like, one is playing the PlayStation 4 and the other one playing the Xbox, and they found each other online, and they even took screenshots, they took videos of it and everything. So then Epic Games said they accidentally added that by mistake, right? Quote unquote accidentally, which I think it was on purpose. And they took it off immediately. Like, they took it off and everything. So today they asked Phil Spencer about that, his thoughts about that situation. And he was like, man, that would have been cool to just leave it open like that. You know, because the thing is, Microsoft been trying for the longest to do a lot of like crossplay, you know, with Minecraft. Now you could play with Nintendo Switch players and Xbox, Rocket League, right? You could do the same thing. Now it's coming up for the Switch. You could play on Xbox, PC, and Switch. But Sony's the only one saying, we don't want this, because they're coming up with these crazy excuses saying, we want to protect the kids and everything.
Let's call a spade first.
Yeah.
PlayStation wanted to do this years ago with PlayStation 3, and Xbox said no because they were the leader in the clubhouse. The roles have reversed, and now PlayStation is the one that's holding back, and Xbox is the one that said, you know, let's leave it on. And, you know, since you mentioned Phil Spencer, shout out to him on his promotion. Now it'd be head of games total, or head of gaming. So if you're listening, shout out. But yeah, it was a configuration, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes that can't be seen on a podcast. But it was a configuration issue that allowed this to happen. It's been corrected, according to, you know, the Epic Games representatives, confirmed by Kotaku. I think, and I agree with what Phil said, I think they discover an error like this, you leave it on simply to showcase to the industry that you can do it, that it is feasible. It's not a heavy, you know, it's not a lot of a lot of issues or problems. It's something that can be done, and apparently it was applauded right? People, you know, it was they had to go through some back channels and try, you know, do some internet sleuthing to try to figure out how it happened. But at the end of the day, this was a positive. And I think Epic took it down, not because Epic wanted to do it, but I think, my personal opinion, a third party non-Epic purse or non-Epic decision maker had a say.
Non-Epic? I doubt that, P. I think it was actually Epic. It's basically anybody could do it without Xbox and PlayStation. They could do it just themselves as a third party company. They could do it easily.
And again, I'm talking out the side of my neck at this point. I'm guessing. I don't have anything, you know, other than a hunch or, you know, a gut feeling. I think there was some kind of coerced conversation in the back that said, no, take it off. I would have loved to have seen Epic say, you know what? We're leaving it on. Have a nice day. Deal with it. And just see what the repercussions were going to be. But I think from a corporate slash negotiation perspective, you got to make everyone happy. And the last thing you want to do is piss off your large constituencies of money, namely PlayStation, because they have, you know, they've got the larger player base right now at PlayStation 4. I'm not saying they did. I just have a hunch that, I don't know. It's just me personally. I think Epic is the type of company that would have been like, you know, let's just leave it and see what happens. But I think there was I think other things happened that said, you know, take it down.
Yeah, I think it was a panic mode. They're like, oh, take it out quick. Because they thought nobody was going to notice. That's what I think. But all right, P, we have a special sponsor for this episode here. And I mentioned this in the last episode. I use CBS All Access all the time because I'm a huge Big Brother fan. But here's the thing. You could also watch on-demand stuff and also live TV like NFL Thursday nights, right?
Yep. Yeah. So Game On. Don't miss a second of NFL on CBS. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. From Thursday night football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. CBS All Access subscribers can also stream other live events like special award shows, news, fall premieres, and more, and get access to over 9,000 current and classic episodes on demand. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL.
What you think of that, about that, Pete? Watching this live stream,
I think it's dope.
To the app of CBS, and it's available on Xbox One. Yep. And that's how I watch all my content through there, man. So it's pretty cool. So GTR listeners, one more time, Pete, can you give them the free trial?
Start your trial, free trial now at cbs.com/NFL.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
So we have another topic here. Pete, have you got to see the new Tomb Raider movie trailer that just came out a couple of days ago?
I saw it.
Honest opinion. Because I'm kind of mixed. Like, I'm like, it looks okay. I need to see more. But
it looks okay, but I think I'm kind of done with the constant Tomb Raider reboots. Kind of, and maybe it's just
been a while though.
I know, but I don't know. Just call me old fashioned. I mean, damn it, I'm gonna be 44 in a couple months. I'm okay with the way it was back in the day. They tried it. It wasn't wildly successful with what's her name?
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie. It was okay.
Wasn't a great movie though.
Yeah, no. I mean, it wasn't. We're not talking Emmy Award winning movies here, right?
Yeah.
There was, you know, we're not going to see Leo coming down, or, you know, I don't think we're going to see anybody winning an award for Tomb Raider, except maybe for an effects or something like that. I don't know. I think from a actress or casting portrayal, they did a great job. I'll probably watch it at home. You know, I don't know if I'll go to the movies to watch it. I'll probably, you know, catch it on Netflix or after. I don't know if I'll catch this. You know, I don't know if I'd go to the movies for something like this, but you know, I think with video games being such a critical component of the entertainment industry these days, I think Hollywood in general is just trying to capitalize on the success and say, you know, let's just, who knows, is Uwe Boll behind this? Because you know how he's always behind video game based movies and stuff like that. Hopefully he's not, because that's just going to be a disaster waiting to happen. I don't know if I'm as excited for something like this, like I would be for like I am actually for Black Panther movie coming out, or even the new Punisher, you know, trailer that just dropped earlier today for Netflix. So
excellent trailer. Yeah, excellent trailer.
I give him kudos for trying, but I don't have the excitement for a Tomb Raider movie, that I would have maybe had like 6 or 7 years ago.
I mean, I'll give it a chance, but I felt excited watching the video game trailer from the first Tomb Raider a couple years ago, right? Like, I felt more excitement with that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, like this one, something about it, it's kind of something is missing in that trailer. I don't know what it is, but it just feels like okay. All right, now I'll give it a chance though once it comes out. You know, am I going to watch it in the movie theaters? No, I'll probably wait until it comes out like on iTunes or Amazon, and I'll rent it and just watch it from there, you know. But yeah, anybody that's listening, let us know. Do you like this trailer? Please let us know and post your thoughts. I'm curious about that stuff, man.
Yeah, and actually the same for that crossplay stuff. I'm pretty sure the consensus is going to be, you know, going back to that, pretty sure the consensus is going to be they should have left it in, but I'd love to hear what the listeners, you know, what their thoughts are on that in particular. Was it, you know, should they have left it in, or if people really don't want to play, you know, against people on the other console?
Yeah, and also when you play Ghost Recon PvP, also, let us know next week. All right.
Yes, please.
All right. So, Pete, we haven't done this in a while, so we're gonna bring it back. No, you're not doing the voice. You're not doing the voice. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So we're gonna play this voicemail, and we're gonna go from there. Let's play right now.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Juan from New York City. You might laugh if you just heard my previous message, because I just finished eating a snack and I couldn't stop coughing. So, very simple question for you guys. You guys have traveled to E3 this year, PAX West. You know, it seems like you're making, your success, the exposure that you've been able to expand on, has given you the opportunities to consider going to these more events besides E3. So my question is, have you guys ever considered going to what may be considered the biggest gaming event, which is Gamescom in Germany? Obviously, that's a stretch considering you guys are families, how expensive it is to go. But is it something you guys have discussed, and is it remotely possible for you guys to make it there and have live coverage? So, let me know your thoughts of the show, guys. Keep it up, Twitch. You guys are doing a great job. Later.
All right, Pete. We've been talking about this for a very long time. And here's two things. This is like my dream that I would love for us to cover in the future. One is Tokyo Game Show. I know it's not as big as E3, but I'm definitely would like to go there and check it out in Tokyo. Plus, it's my dream to visit Japan, you know, since a kid. So that would be cool. And also, Gamescom. the more I hear from people, the more I really want to check it out in Germany, man. So I think we could do that. One day we will go over there, Pete, and cover that event. Even if it's just once, at least we can say that we've been there, you know?
Absolutely. And I feel exactly the same way. Tokyo is still one of those bucket list countries that I want to visit in my lifetime, whether it be for personal or for professional reasons. I've just always wanted to go to Japan. When it comes to covering Gamescom, I have mixed feelings. I don't know if I can handle being in that crowd of 200,000 people. I know that there's separate, you know, venues, one for public and one for media and stuff like that. So we won't potentially have that E3 2017 experience from day one. I still would like to experience it. I would be more excited to go to Tokyo Game Show, more because it's Tokyo than anything else. But yeah, I would definitely not say no to having the opportunity to go to Gamescom to cover, cover the event. That being said, it's not like it's not ever come up in our conversations, behind closed doors. It's always something that is, you know, hey, do we or can we have the means to cover, Gamescom? Obviously that's, you know, that's the event in the gaming industry to be able to cover. We're lucky that we're, you know, able to cover E3 because it's local, domestic for us. You know, we can travel a couple of hours via airplane, and we have the means these days. But yeah, I mean, something like Gamescom is a much larger beast, both from a logistics and a financial standpoint. Obviously, you know,
like, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap, like the caller said. And it's not cheap. And plus, you know, Paris and I both have full-time gigs, right? So it's kind of hard for us to leave not just our employment, but family as well. You know, I've got a kid in high school, a kid in college. You know, Paris has three kids. It's kind of hard to leave the country, much less, you know, the state or the city in Paris's case. And I could feel Paris's eyes rolling. Don't tell me how I feel, in the back of his head, but yeah, don't think that we've never thought about this. Like every year it comes up in our back, you know, in our chat discussions of, you know, can we do Gamescom? I would love to say yes, it will happen, you know, just to stay positive and to try to keep doing this and keep trying to build this machine to the point that it would allow us those opportunities to go to Germany. Hey, I would love to have some native Wiener Schnitzel, but and some beer, but. it is what it is. If we just keep plugging away, keep being positive, keep doing what we're doing, I would like to say it'll happen eventually. I just don't think we can give it an accurate timetable as to when we'd go.
All right, so I've been getting a lot of messages ever since our Cyber Thunder episode. So here's one. This is from Wes Jess. Hey Danny, congratulations on the 700th episode of Gaming, the best gaming podcast in the world, hands down. I am a loyal listener, and I really appreciate everything you guys do for the gamers around the world and your coverage of different topics that concern and affect us in many ways. And you guys are second to none when it comes to content. Keep up the good work. And again, thanks for everything you do for us. And I wish you guys massive success in the coming years. Salud. Y suerte. So shout out to him, man. Thanks a lot for the email, man. So I like that. I like getting a lot of positive, you know, great feedback about GTR, man. So
all right, this one is from our Discord server, Raging Meerkat. I'm sorry. Just the thought of a raging meerkat. All right. Hey, guys. Wanted to know your thoughts on mouse and keyboard support coming to the Xbox One. Do you think it's a good idea? And also, do you think a lot of people will switch from controller to mouse when this does happen? Just wondering, since I know some think mouse is far better than controller.
Well, yeah. I could answer that question. So I believe this was during... one of the PAX panel, the Xbox they had over there at PAX Prime, and Major Nelson was the host. And I can't remember exactly who answered this question, but they are working on it. The thing is, they know that if they add this feature to the console, then those with mouse and keyboard will win a lot of multiplayer matches because they will take advantage of that. That is better than a controller, right? So what they're doing is something like, if it's co-op, then yes, you guys could play together, mouse and keyboard, and like people that have controllers, right? But when it's multiplayer matches, like let's say I can't play with Pete and Paris on Gears of War multiplayer because we're have different controllers. But if it's something like co-op, like Horde mode, then yes, that will work. So what the thing is, Xbox is trying to figure out how can the system, when people go online with a certain controller, they know that they're playing that. So those people with that type of controller, it could be mouse and keyboard or a regular controller, they can match with others with the same type of controller so they keep it even instead of having it all over the place. And then you'll see a bunch of people with mouse and keyboard that win the whole time. So they are trying to figure it out. The thing is, they don't know when they're going to launch. But yeah, they've been experimenting with a lot of things. And I think the first one that I remember when they talked about that was Gears of War. Mm-hmm. And Pete, you remember that, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is from Joe, all the way from Ohio. And this is about episode 696. Episode 696 was, as a kid, we'll call it, fire. First of all, you guys are always real and appreciated. I'm 39 years old, and I bought my first Xbox 4 years ago. Prior to that was the Super NES 27 years ago. By the way, man, you got to get the Super NES Classic coming out, I believe, next week. So I'm going to do that, too. All right, but to emphasize on the Twitch comment that made Paris salty is that I didn't realize how much gaming went from being fun to being criticized constantly. As I mentioned on Danny Twitter post, that Bases Loaded Baseball was something I played with my dad every single day. I also had many all-night Super Tecmo Bowl tournaments with friends. P, you remember that? Tecmo Ball? Classic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bo Classic. Jackson. That's all you needed.
There you go. So when things go from just having fun to kicking someone out of your group because you don't feel they carry their own weight in a game, I can go on about the pros and cons of today's gaming, but I'm going to just make a comment that we need to promote more positive gaming and play what you want, how you want. When did life become so serious that a video game can be made to have anger towards someone trying to enjoy the same game you are? Your thoughts, Pete? I think it's very freaking true, in my opinion, but go ahead. We talk about this all the time, but yeah.
I know. I almost feel like he's targeting me because I kicked you out of the raid in Destiny 1.
I think it was more about it just overall. Like, but see, with us, it's different, Pete. We were just like, we mess around like that. So people might think this is real. That it's like, oh, you know. But honestly, I think that the last episode, Pete, what we were talking about, like, yo, let's talk about more about the positive things. Because, yo, people want to hear that, man. Imagine someone that just gets home, man, tired, stressed out. You know, they want to play a game, or maybe they want to listen to a podcast, and they put on a podcast, and the people on the podcast they're angry 24/7, hating on life and just hating on every single game and just bashing and just trolling people online. And it's like, what is it that people are going to get from that? You know, somebody is stressed, entertain them, make them smile, man, make them happy. You know, dude, the past few days, Pete, I've been playing Destiny 2, and the thing that I've been doing the most is playing with friends and playing with our community, the GTR clan members. Well, I think I've been doing that a lot, and we achieved a lot of things because, yo, we're just having a blast, man. Look, there's some days I'm terrible playing these games, right? Like, let's say Crucible earlier this morning, I was playing horrible, right? Then a couple hours later, dude, I was like in a good vibe, man. I was just chatting with people on Twitch. And I was just like on fire, man. So it's just the vibe, I think, personally, man. You know,
it's interesting because there's times where you jump on almost out of habit to play a game with friends. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes the game becomes more than the fun experience, right? So obviously, you know, I've been playing PUBG nonstop, according to the servers, 300 plus hours since, you know, PUBG launched. Obviously the hurricane hit here. I hadn't been able to play in a long time. We started playing two nights ago, and myself, two of our Discord members, Cicada and Beaker, we've gone 3-0 every night, and we've been undefeated since, you know, I came back online, you know, from the internet ban from Comcast. And it's been pure unadulterated fun, right? At the end of the day, I think that's the most important part. The only reason I brought that up is because thanks to this Discord server, and essentially at the end of the day, it was Beaker and his friends that actually originally stood up this Discord server for Gamertag Radio. Mm-hmm. It's because of them that I've played more with our community members in 2017 than I have in what, 7, 8, 9 years of being on the show. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's been directly attributed to, you know, the Discord server, to this amazing community of people around the world. And I say around the world because we've got several of our Discord, you know, members currently in Puerto Rico, you know, going through some struggles right now with Hurricane Maria. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Ghost and them. I know Ghost is one of those people. I hate to turn this conversation from positive to negative. But, you know, Ghost is one of those guys, has been active on our servers, was living in St. Thomas when Irma hit, and then he had to evacuate and go to Puerto Rico. And then a week and change later, he's got to go through all of this again in Puerto Rico.
It sucks, man. It sucks
hard. My heart goes out to all of our, not just of our community members, but, you know, to people around the world, people in Barbuda who are gone. Our whole country's been obliterated. It's zero life, you know, on that country. All of the other British and American Virgin Islands, you know, all the islands in the Caribbean that have been hit, the people in Mexico that just got hit with that 7.1 earthquake. It's insane. And so when people from the gaming industry can have those positive experiences, and let me bring this back all the way around, when we can have those random experiences where I'm on Twitch and I see a viewer say, "Hey, do you play with Twitch viewers?" And I say, "Absolutely." And I send him the link for Discord, and he jumps in, and next thing you know, 10 minutes later, we're playing on a game. That's what it's all about. It's bringing those people together so that it's no longer just a name on the screen where you can actually talk to them, interact with them, and much more than just a video game experience. And, you know, it's been surreal how this community has exploded. And it's a testament to the people in the server. So, you know, to bring this back, you know, positive is what you make it. We could sit here and go on and on about console wars and bashing people. It's not what it's about. It's about standing your fellow man or woman up and, yep, and being friends, man. Just taking this entertainment, you know, component called video games and maintaining fun, you know, in the whole thing. So it's all what you make of it. You know, we could go on and on about this conversation. I don't want to break down Danny again and make him start crying again like I did last week. But yeah, it goes right back to what we said on that show. It's just, you know, it's this is all because of video games. You know, we've developed long-standing friendships. I mean, I love Danny like my, I don't have any brothers, but I love him like a brother. And same with Paris, you know, because we've gone through so much from a video game, you know, conversation to, you know, becoming friends, you know, Danny knowing my wife before, before I met her, you know, and just that whole evolution of life. And, you know, now Danny and I freaking talk, you know, probably talk, you know, more than I talk to my wife sometimes. And so that's, it's, it's surreal, and it's all about the people. You know, surround yourself with positive people and you'll have a positive life. So Fabrizio Oliveira. He says, "Hi, Danny, how are you? I hope you recovered from the hurricane and the loss of Marley. F man, you got my eyes wet on episode 700 when I was listening to you guys at work. Luckily, no one was around. Haha. Just want to tell you a story. I started listening to you 2 years ago in order to improve my English because I'm a Brazilian student in Australia since 2014. February. So I decided to start listening to podcasts on Spotify that talked about games. Tried a big bunch, and your podcast was the first one that I fancied because of you guys. I was introduced to Destiny 1 last year, and now I'm a huge fan of the franchise. I refresh my Spotify constantly to check if there is a new GTR podcast out every day, and get sad when you guys do not release an episode when it was supposed to, saying as a huge fan of you, not being salty. I am so happy that GTR improved a lot the past 2 years. Thank you for providing us a good podcast with an amazing content. You guys are awesome. One day, I want to be a good father to my kids, as you are, and make PowerPoint presentations to my Swedish girl telling her why we should invest in games. Couple of questions. Awesome. How do I become a GTR clan member on Destiny 2? Any plans on coming to Australia? See you, Danny. Keep up the amazing job you guys have done."
Wow,
so
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, Danny will send you the link to the GTR clan page on Bungie.net, so that should not be an issue. If you can, I'd say, you know, head on over to our Discord server, make yourself known so we could talk to you. That's discord.gg/GTR. As far as going to Australia, I mean, this goes right along back to that conversation of going to Tokyo Game Show or going to Gamescom. Hey, I wouldn't mind going to PAX Australia. I'm just going to throw that out there, Danny. So
yeah, that would be awesome, right? No, but one thing I do want to say, Fabrizio, is that there we do have a lot of listeners from Australia. So that would be cool if you guys could do like a little meetup, get together, you know, take some pictures, post it in. And some of them are even on, they listen to the podcast, or they also do both. They listen to the podcast and they're also a part of the Discord channel, where I highly recommend it for those that are like, they're curious, they want to join and they want to be part of the Discord server and chat with other GTR members from all over the world. And it's totally free. It doesn't matter. You could do this on your phone, Android, iOS, PC, Mac, and so on. So I'm going to give this web address here, so people that are listening, type this up and join. Go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. Join and just talk to other community members, man. We've been doing that a lot. You know, now, like, you know, Ghost and a couple of the people there in Puerto Rico that were letting us know that, you know, situation and up giving us updates what's going on in Puerto Rico around this area and everything. Like, we feel like we're like a family, right, Pete? When we talked and just we even plan out like days. Okay, let's get together. Let's play some games. Pete, you always plan out PUBG all the time, right? PUBG sessions. Yep. Now I see a lot of people active on our Destiny channel there to see we're going to play some, like, maybe Nightfall, the Raid, and so on. Or in the general, we even have like a section where best, like some like promo deals where there's like cheap games or so on. Yo, we talk about everything in there, everything, which is awesome, I think, man. So join our Discord channel. It's totally free, and I highly, highly recommend it. So we're going to wrap it up here. This was episode 701. Make sure to go to GamertagWorld.com. And this is our past episodes. And go to play.it/GamerTag. You can listen to our past episodes over there. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. We're everywhere. Just search for Gamertag Radio. And like other people have been asking, how could you guys could join the Destiny 2 clan? Easily, you could go to clans section on budget.net and search for Gamertag Radio. You could join like that. You could find us and join. I have this open. It's not private or anything like that. Or hit us up through Discord, social media, or email. We'll send you the link and you could join too. So we want to grow. Right now we have like 50 members. Right now we're almost there on level 4. We're almost there. So, yeah, let's make it happen. Let's play some Destiny 2, man.
And also, if you are a member of the GTR Discord server, you can actually just go to the Destiny channel and then hit the pinned messages, and there's a link there as well.
Yep. Awesome. All right, and until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.